Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. What you drinking today?
I am drinking unicorn hot cocoa from Swiss Miss. Has rainbow marshmallows. It tastes like normal Swiss Miss.
Yeah.
But it has rainbow marshmallows, so we got it. And I'm drinking it out of a white dollar store mug that we took fingernail polish in teal and purple and did marble on it. So it turned out really cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. We also did that with some of our bowls and stuff, because sometimes when we're having a bad time, we just art.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we do.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking, oh my gosh, is it the white chocolate macadamia nut kawaii coffee mixed with Folgers?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good black. I haven't had any complaints with the kawaii flavors that we've had so far. Yeah. So we go to this grocery store across the street, and they don't have a lot of variety when it comes to coffee, but they had kawaii coffee, so.
Yes, but not the one we had last time. This one's a new one with, like, macadamia nut in it.
It's delicious.
Just in case some of you aren't going all the way to the end of the episodes, I want to remind everyone that we have a grab bag episode coming up at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know if you want us to research any particular pantheon besides the four that we normally do, and then specifically what kind of creatures you want us to look into, and we'll do that. So since there's two of us, we can do two different creatures. They do not have to be from the same section. So please send us an email at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just so that we can get working on that. Anyway, so for this week's Celtic Week, I decided to research the Glaistig, and that's Glaistig, not to be confused with the Glashtin.
Correct. I kept asking her this week, I'm like, what is it again? What exactly are you doing? Because I need to know. And she'd tell me repeatedly, and I'd be like, you already told me this. I feel like an asshole. I'm sorry.
So, the Glaistig is found in Scottish mythology, and there's a couple variations. So, the first one was that she was a human woman, but one way or another, she got turned into a fairy by another fairy. Sometimes, she's also called the Green Lady or the Green Maiden. She wears a flowing green robe, and some say that her lower half is that of a goat, but you can't really tell because her dress covers it. One usually finds a Glaistig at a farm where they look after the cattle. Sometimes they also look after children while their parents are off taking care of the farm. They sometimes help around the house with chores like cleaning or with milking the cattle. They can feed livestock and protect them from predators. And if they feel unappreciated, they may stop doing chores, leaving the family to take up the slack on things that they once took for granted.
Mm.
A proper way to show your appreciation to a Glaistig for helping you is to put out milk in a bowl carved out of stone.
Oh, dang.
So another name for a Glaistig was the gray-handed one. This one was generally gray-skinned and thin, sometimes considered a giant, and she had long yellow hair. This version was considered a ghost or a spirit rather than a fairy.
Mm.
She was considered to have a supernaturally loud voice and would require an offering of the first milk each morning. If she did not get this offering, she could cause cows to go dry, or she might find another way to punish the farmers.
Jeez.
She had a sense for when visitors would arrive, so you might wake up to a spotless house, this letting you know to expect company. As with similar house spirits, if you thanked them or commented on it, they would leave your home and not come back.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you don't like this? Then fuck you.
Well, even if you said something nice.
Oh.
Yeah, like if you woke up and your house was spotless, you would be like, oh, wow, it's really nice how clean this house is. Like, saying that, she'd leave. Because they didn't want to be acknowledged like that.
So, like, just pretend it didn't happen?
Kind of.
Damn, that'd be hard.
Yeah.
And the only way to make them know that you respect them is to give them a stone-carved bowl of fresh milk.
Yes, for this particular one, because they were likening that aspect of it to, like, brownies.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what kind of offerings brownies liked, because I haven't covered them yet. Gotcha. Like, I know of them from reading books, but they were fantasy books, so I don't know how true to lore they were.
Right.
So yeah, Glastigs light bowls of milk. So some say that there are also malevolent Glastig that would lure men away and drain them of their blood until they died. And there's an account of a Glastig being captured by a Kennedy of Lincoln and taken back to their home. He forced the Glastig to swear on hot iron that she would stop hurting the people of the area. And when she touched the iron, she burned her hand to the bone. She flew out the window and laid a curse on the Kennedy family before dying. And the family says they are still under the curse.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, so that, just for the people listening, the Kennedys you're referring to are not in relation to the Kennedys from America, correct?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because when I looked into it, because I was like, I've heard the word Kennedy curse before. It said that the Kennedys from America are from a Fitzpatrick line from Ireland, mm-hmm. and these were Kennedys from Scotland.
Gotcha.
From what I understand.
Cool.
So another story is that the Glastig starts out benevolent like the ones that care for homes and turns evil when they are betrayed. For example, a young man put boiling milk in her stone bowl one day.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and she turned on them after she was harmed. And I was reading these stories and they sound almost like two really different types of creatures that have somehow ended up with the same name.
Mm.
Especially since one is, like, considered a fairy and the other is considered a ghost.
Right. Did it differ in which region they were from? Like, one was from Scotland, one was from Ireland, or were they all just, like...
So the Glastigs are all from Scotland.
Okay.
But I don't know, I didn't look into, like, regions of Scotland, so I don't know if they're from different sections of Scotland.
Gotcha.
So that's the Glastig. There are some books that have Glastig in them as characters like War for the Oaks by Emma Bull and Wicked Lovely by Melissa Marr. And they can also be found in the Eberron campaign of D&D.
You know, when you were talking about it, I kept on thinking about that one character that I know they don't call her a Glastig, but it's what I was thinking of when I was like listening to it from Ancient Magus Bride.
Which one?
The girl in pink that's actually a Selkie.
Lady Silver.
Yeah, Lady Silver. That's what I kept thinking of when you were talking about how she, like...
Took care of the house.
Took care of the house and stuff, because that's generally what Lady Silver did, except you could talk to Lady Silver about stuff instead of
not... Pretending she wasn't
there. Yeah, pretending she wasn't there.
Well, also, she started out as a Banshee, right? Yeah. And she was turned into a Selkie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sad storyline.
It was, but it's a very good show if anybody is interested in anime.
Or beautiful art.
Yeah, the animation is gorgeous in that show. They used to have it on Funimation. They don't anymore. So I went ahead and I got it. I think I got it on sale mm-hmm. for both seasons for Xbox.
Either that or PlayStation.
I'm pretty sure it was on Xbox. But anyways.
That also has the Lenenshi.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think we have covered yet, but I was looking into possibly doing it.
Right, we have not covered that one yet, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so that was the Glastig. Please stick around after this short commercial break, and we are going to talk about the Kyliak. All right, we'll be right back. And we're back. So... Before I go into mine, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because it's December now, by the time this is coming out. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what the Celtic myths were regarding winter solstice, because that's more of what's celebrated in the Celtic mythology. And there's like a little story that goes with it. I know there's probably a much longer version of this story out there, but the shortened version that I kind of summed it up to... So at each solstice each year, the Oak King, which represents light, and the Holly King, which represents darkness, would fight. And at winter solstice, the Oak King emerges victorious each year, enabling the return of the light and lengthening the daylight. The Holly was brought in to ward evil and for protection, and mistletoe was considered a sacred plant. and there was a ritual of cutting from holly oaks with a golden sickle 6 days after the new moon closest to winter solstice.
That's very specific.
It was very specific, yeah. I was like, originally I was going to try to do a different thing, but then I was like, I think I'm going to do something a little bit more winter-esque. So, the spelling of the name of the being that I am covering today is C as in cat, A-I-L-L-E-A-C-H, but it's pronounced Kyliak. It means old woman or hag and comes from an old Gaelic word that means veiled one. It's in Irish, Scottish, and Manx lore. She's a divine hag, creator deity, weather deity, and ancestor deity. The modern Scottish folklore studies also know her as Beira, Queen of Winter, which was given to her by a 20th century folklorist, Donald Alexander Mackenzie. In Scotland, she is credited with making numerous mountains and large hills formed while she was striding across the land and accidentally dropped rocks from her wicker basket or creel.
This sounds like something I would do, be like, I'm out picking rocks. Oh, no, I dropped some.
Let me just say, as I learned about this goddess, I was like, I love her. Let me go further. In other cases, she is said to have built the mountains intentionally to serve as her stepping stones and carries a hammer for shaping them.
Nice.
Yeah, it gets better. She is said to be the mother of all gods and goddesses. She herds deer, fights spring, and has a staff that freezes the ground. She's in partnership with Brige, which is spelled, in the Scottish version, it's B as in boy, R-I-G-H-D-E. But the Irish pronunciation that I found based off of Lara O'Brien, who I've like listened to some of her stuff on, was Brige, because there is an Irish
equivalent
to that.
And you had to find the Irish version because we couldn't find a Scottish version.
No, the Scottish version, yeah, every time I tried finding it, it was giving me, like, the robotic pronunciation, and I'm like, I don't know how accurate this bitch is, so we're just gonna go and find what we can. Anyways, so Kyliak rules the winter months, Samhain to Beltane, while Brige rules summer months from Beltane to Samhain. Some interpret that Kyliak and Brige are two faces of the same goddess, while others state that Kyliak turns to stone during Beltane and reverts to the humanoid form on Samhain to rule over the winter months. It is said that if February 1st is warm and sunny, that is Kyliak gathering firewood to last through a longer winter. So generally, if February 1st is terrible weather-wise, people see it or saw it as a sign that spring and summer were coming sooner and gave them relief. I found this to be a way better version of the Groundhog Day thing. Like, I'm never going to just do Groundhog Day again.
It's based on the weather instead of the ground. Okay, yeah. So for those of you who are not American, Groundhog Day is where this particular groundhog, whose nickname is Punxsutawney Phil, comes out of the ground and they decide whether or not we're going to have, like, more winter or spring's gonna come based on whether or not he sees his shadow and gets scared and goes back in his hole. So that's a thing that Americans do.
Yeah, there's actually like a whole comedy movie with
Bill Murray
called Groundhog Day. But anyway, so in Scotland and Ireland, the first farmer to finish the grain harvest made a corn dolly representing Kyliak, also called the Carlin or Carline.
Dolly like doll?
I'm pretty sure, because listen to the rest of what it's got to say. From the last sheep of crop, the figure would be tossed into the field of a neighboring farmer who had not finished bringing in their grain. The last farmer to finish were responsible to take care of the corn dolly for the next year, implicating that they would have to feed and house the hag all winter.
So they would just, like, when the next person would find it, they'd toss it in the next yard?
Yeet it to the next neighboring farmer.
That hadn't finished. Okay.
It was a competition to not have to take the old woman in.
Aww,
which I think is sad.
That's rude.
So, some scholars believe the old Irish poem, The Lament of the Old Woman of Barra, is about Kyliak, which was, for example, Kuno Meyer states that she had 50 foster children in Barra, 7 periods of youth, one after another, so that every man who lived with her came to die of old age, and her grandsons and great-grandsons were tribes and races.
Damn.
Yes, that was a quote. In other sources, I found that her attributes showed that she appears primarily as a veiled old woman with one eye, skin deadly pale or blue, teeth red, and clothes adorned with skulls, and she could leap across mountains and ride storms.
This lady's badass.
Oh my god, gets better. In Manx tradition, she could shapeshift into a giant bird, her hammer could control storms and thunder, and in some legends, she's also controlled a well that occasionally overflowed and flooded the land.
Interesting.
Neither fully good or evil, she cares deeply for animals both wild and domestic during dark winter months. She is the patron of wolves emboldened by winter hunger, and in Scotland, also a deer herder. In Manx, she is both ageless and immortal. She would take a drought that returned her to youth, so she would be a hag in the winter and a young woman in spring and summer. And then there's also another myth that's very specific to Tinan Cailleac. Cailleac, the Bodach, and their children appeared to the people of Glen Leon and Glen Cailleac seeking shelter. The family granted them shelter, and the surrounding glens became very fertile. Before departing, Cailleac gave a parting gift. The area would be fertile if they put up stones for her family during the Eltana to Samhain. And each year, this ritual is repeated to this day.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they take the stones back down or if they just keep adding to where the stones are.
It's a good question because I actually did not look that far into it. So in Scotland, there's also the Cailleac Cann, which means old women, or also known as the storm hags, and they are seen as personifications of the elements of nature, especially in destructive aspects. They are said to be active in raising windstorms of spring during a time known as a Cailleac. In the west coast of Scotland, Cailleac brings in winter by washing her great plaid in the Gulf of Corryvreckan. Literally means a whirlpool or cauldron of plaid in Gaelic name. The process takes 3 days, and when finished, her plaid is pure white and snow covers the land.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. In present day, people can visit this place called Cailleac Bay and leaves offerings to the rock said to represent the old crone looking out at sea and is still used in well-loved poems and songs. Also, I did not find this out until I was looking her up. There's a Netflix show that's like a rendition of King Arthur called, I'm pretty sure it's called Cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah. She shows up in that.
Oh, we didn't get that far.
We didn't get that far, so I didn't spoil that for myself by looking too far into it, but anybody that's watched that show on Netflix, they know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the Cailleac. That was actually pretty fun. Pretty fun to look into her. I love the fact that she also wields a hammer and controls thunderstorms. Anywho, Leah's never watched Spider-Man Homecoming, or like the ones with Tom Holland in it. So we're going to remedy that at some point soon. And then we also started watching Star Wars because we've been watching The Mandalorian religiously. And it's making a lot of references to the older movies and shows. And Leah's like, well, what's this one from? And what's this from? And so, like, I have to explain some things. She has seen it once before, like the original
six.
But it's been a while and she only watched it, like, what, once?
Yeah. So, I watched it about 10 years ago for the sole purpose of being able to say, yes, I have seen, originally, all the Star Wars movies, and I knew what they were about back then, but it's been a long time.
Right. So, anybody has watched, what was episode number that we watched on Friday? That was, like, Chapter 13. If you've watched the episode titled Chapter 13, you know why we are excited. It was a really good episode. But anywho's it. We watched episode 1 after that because I was like, that's like a trip back to memory lane because we were 8 years old when that came out. And I think I watched it 4 or 5 times in theaters at least when it came out. My family was super into Star Wars. I remember watching the VHS tapes when I was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And then my cousins and I would like take giant sticks and whack at each other and pretend they were like lightsabers, play Jedi Knights. It was great.
It's a miracle you survived.
Well, you say that, but then I've done so much worse as a kid.
It's cumulative.
Yeah, it is. So, other than that, we've also been playing a lot of Minecraft lately. Because I've never beat the game. Because the one time I did help with beating the game, you and your dad were playing. And what they did, because back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember this, because we've been playing Minecraft for years. Back in the day, they had like a starter tutorial world that they came out with. Mm-hmm. And what her and her dad did is they basically used that world to beat the game, but they just, not just beat the game, they did some crazy shit to it. Like, I can't even remember all the... there was the rail system that they had developed for this Minecraft world. It blew my mind. So, like, I basically would be invited to go in, and they were like, okay, here's some bow and arrow and some arrows, just shoot the dragon. I'm like, okay, I'm just the third person here.
We were doing it for achievements.
Yeah. Like, they were trying to get all the achievements, but every single time it updates, there's more achievements that are harped onto it.
Yeah.
And now there's, like, all these things with, like, the illagers and the pillagers and the piglins and the bartering system and the moon phases and, like... If you don't sleep after 3 nights, you have these phantom things come out and, like, try to kill you. And it's just, like, every time I see your dad, he's just, like, it used to be so simple.
It used to be Legos.
It used to be, like, Legos, and now it's just so complicated. And I'm like, yeah, but I still want to try beating it and being able to say I actually, like, was able to do it once.
Right. Which is what we're working on now.
Yeah. But we're being, like... kind of intense about it. I know whoever's listening to this and they're like, I don't fucking care about Minecraft. Why are you talking about Minecraft? That's basically what we did for our Thanksgiving. We played Minecraft. We ordered Chinese food. We made ginger snaps. And that was our Thanksgiving. Art. Yeah, we did a lot of art. Like, a lot of drawing and painting and stuff. But anywho. So as far as the fondue went, it actually turned out all right.
It was very rich.
It was very rich. Like, I could really taste the wine coming out of it. I guess that's because apparently I've had fondue with a beer base before instead of a wine base. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there was a difference. It was still really good, but like I think if I were to do it again, I would probably use smoked Gouda and beer and try that mix.
Instead of Gruyere and sweet Riesling.
Yeah. I've got this St. Bernardus Abbey Ale. That's my favorite beer.
Yeah, but would you want to put that in a cheese, or would you want to drink that while making the beer cheese with something else, like the Guinness?
Stop making sense. You're probably right. That'd probably be delicious.
Especially since it's so expensive.
Yeah, the cheese, not just the cheese, that beer is really expensive here.
It's hard to find.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's from Belgium. We also had pancakes that morning.
Yeah. Okay, so I had a dream.
Yeah.
Well, I had a nightmare, really, that were related to work. Because I work with doctors, and the one dream was that we were going in at 10 instead of 7 for work. And on the way, I was like, I'm going to get breakfast. And I stop at this diner, and for some reason I was walking instead of driving. And I'm like, I'm already going to be late because I'm walking, but I decide to stop at this diner. And I just wanted chocolate chip pancakes, bacon, eggs, and some coffee and some water. And I order, and instead of the person that's, like, taking my order being like, oh, that sounds like this meal we have, and we can substitute, like, chocolate chips or whatever, they did everything a la carte, and it came to $52.
She was very upset about
it. And I didn't even get drinks. That was just the food. They didn't even ask me if I wanted drinks, so I didn't get a water, and I didn't get a coffee, and then I had to go to work, and I was late. And then I had another nightmare about work, where my doctor was like, came up to the front desk and was like, why aren't my patients checked in? And like, there were all these people in the waiting room that hadn't been checked in, which like does not happen. But in the dream, it happened. And I was very upset by it.
So she wakes up, comes downstairs, tell me about how horrible of a dream she had. We look to see if, because I like to make Kodiak cake flapjacks. So we go to look at what we have, and it's like, it expired in July. So
we're a little bit sketched out.
I was like a little bit sketchy about it. So I went to the store. I got some flapjack mix. I got the hot cocoa unicorn mix. Mm-hmm. I got us little containers of orange juice because I was like, there's no way she's not going to have drinks with her meal. Even though she was already drinking coffee that I had brewed that morning.
Yeah.
And I also got her, like, this peppermint mocha coffee mate creamer, which I don't know if you really...
It's very strong.
Is it?
So the amount of creamer I usually put in a coffee is a lot. It's, like, ends up being coffee-flavored creamer. So the amount of creamer you need makes the peppermint, or I need, makes the peppermint too strong. So I either need to... only use a little bit and let it cool down naturally, or I need to like split it with a different thing, you know, like the French vanilla or like regular milk or something, because it's just very strongly peppermint. I think, and I noticed this the other day when we had the peppermint mocha Starbucks fiasco in my car. When I got that and actually tasted that Starbucks, it was very pepperminty, like almost painfully pepperminty. And when I get it throughout the year and I just ask them to add the peppermint pumps, I'm wondering if they use a smaller number than that goes into that drink.
Like in Christmas time?
Yeah, because it's not that strong the rest of the year.
So they're like, they need all the sugar. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, so I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be drinking that
the rest of the season.
I see.
And they still have my pumpkin cream cold brew, which is crazy and I'm not upset about in a good way. I thought it was going to be gone, and I was kind of expecting them to do something different. I don't know if they, like, kept it around this long last year.
I don't know, but I was thinking maybe they were just keeping it till Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's past Thanksgiving, and they still have it. Which I was like, okay, I'm not upset by it at all. Oh, and also, during Thanksgiving, we were listening to a lot of And That's Why We Drink. And they've been having, we've been going from the first episode down, and we're up to the 80s, so, like, those episodes were aired in, like, September of 2018, October of 2018. Mm-hmm. And they're going into, like, all these episodes about dolls. Now, I do not like dolls, especially when it comes down to scary stories about dolls. Like, for some reason, I just get bad juju vibes about dolls in that way. So, the one time there was an episode, I think it was yesterday, we were listening. We listened to them while we're playing Minecraft. And while we were listening, there was this one episode that had a word doll in the title, and Leia was like, no, don't even, just skip it. We skip it. The first thing they say was, so, the last episode was so bad we need to tone it down, because apparently people were crashing their cars. And I was like, I looked at her and I was like, thank you, because the previous episode before that was about dolls, made me so uncomfortable I had to turn it off.
Yeah, so the deal is, the way they do titles doesn't usually have what the episode's about in the title. It's just like two funny things they said throughout the episode.
Yeah.
And they use that as the title. So you don't always have forewarning, which is why we listened to the first one about the doll that shall not be named.
No.
And this one happened to have it in the title. And we were like, skip. And then they were like, so there might have been some problems after last episode. And we were like, oh no.
Yeah, and they were like talking about how they have like a demon in their house now. And I was like, that's not something I would want to mess with at all. I'm good. None of that.
They should be recording in like a circle of salt.
Yeah, with like a, like some kind of like blessing thing. Like just, not just salt, like all the things. Yeah. Like, everything. Just be like, okay, this is our safe place. Don't break the salt. It's like seeing that TikTok video where it has the word 2021 written out, and then yeah, they put the salt all over it.
Reminders, everybody, make sure to check out our art for this week's beings on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. You can also find us at our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, and you can message us on here as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more creatures and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos, or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.